Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It's definitely a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God. And I just thank God for being here and having the opportunity to share His word with His people. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you to God for another day, to God, that you have blessed us with, oh God. For as your word says, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Dear God, we also come praying, Father, for you to move through this sermon, oh God, to impact me and all that hear it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. Well, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I was just praying. And, you know, sometimes you get it to a place in prayer where it's just like, okay, God, I've been praying for certain things to happen. And, you know, for me, this is not a financial thing. I'm not even... It's not that, but it's just you want to see God do things that only God can do. Amen. And as you pray, sometimes you get, I mean, when you're waiting, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, so as you're waiting on God for some of the things that only He can do, I mean, sometimes it's challenging. Amen. And you begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to put it in your hand. I don't know how this is going to work out, but God, I'm expecting you to save my, the unsaved family, you know, or something like that, or some of my friends that may not be living for the Lord. And as time keeps going, we are here to continue to pray, but we want to see God move. Amen. So I was saying, God, I need to see some breakthrough. God, I understand that you're a great God. I understand that you're an almighty God, but I need to see that happen now. Amen. And, you know, as I was praying, I was just like, God, I just want to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do. I'm praying for this, God. So what are you going to do? And as I was praying that, I heard the Spirit of God say, prepare for victory. Amen. So what does it look like to prepare for victory? One of the things that the Spirit of God asked me was, what changes after your victory? Right? Let's say you've been praying for something on and on and on, and God moves. What changes? Did God change? No. The circumstance may have changed to show you the power of God, but then He said, don't look at the circumstance, look at it as if I've already changed it. Amen. Amen. And when I heard it, it was like, all right, thank God. You know, because you want to hear from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So as I was getting ready for this sermon, I was at a wedding today. And this scripture came up and I was like, wow, that's the key scripture for this sermon series. John chapter 16, verse 33. Actually, let me start at verse 31. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Somebody say peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Now, there's a couple things that we want to highlight in there is, first of all, God is always with us. As we see in that scripture, God is always with us. So when we're preparing for victory, we have to know that we already have victory because God is victorious. Amen. God has not lost anything, right? Sometimes we see the different things that go on in this world. I mean, we look at last year. They're okay. We look at last year. We look at some of the racial things that were going wrong, all these things that happened, and justice didn't happen in all of these cases, right? We all know that. But that doesn't say that God is not good. What that shows us is the depravity of man or the sinfulness of man. Amen? But we always have to remember that God is victorious. Even when we're seeing our friends that are still living in the world, it is discouraging to see that. Right? Somebody you've been praying for years, God, just touch their life. God, change them. And then you see them and it just seems like they're getting worse and worse. God is still God. He's still able to turn it around. Amen? And I'm not as sometimes I'm super excited. I'm super pumped. This is something that I'm dealing with myself. Amen. I'm just being honest. There's a lot of things that we pray for, even for the ministry, that we want to see come to pass. And we just have to remember that God is victorious. God is faithful. He is going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Then it says, these things in verse 33, I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. All right, how many of us know that we need to have peace? Amen. When your mind is running rapid, when your mind is worried about different things, when you're trying to figure out how to make things work, God has said, I have come to give you peace. Jesus said that I give you peace in me, that you may have peace. And then he lets us know that you are going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations, right? You're going to have challenges. You're going to have things that don't look like they are in your favor, right? You're going to have ups. You'll be up sometime, but you're going to be down. Jesus promised us these things, but then he says, but be of good cheer, all right? Now, one of the pastor that officiated the wedding, he was talking about the joy of God. God did not give us the joy just for the good times that we have. He said the joy is supposed to carry us over the rough times that we have. Amen. Us having joy in Jesus about who he is will help us get past the tough things that we go through. Amen. Because we know that he is with us. He says, you'll have hard times, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we remember that he is an overcomer, we can understand that we are overcomers. Amen? Amen. We must prepare for victory. One thing I have here is we have to start thinking like we're going to win. All right. Even if you look at this church, as we are thinking about winning, what does that look like? If the church, if we've been praying and God answered us and he sends in people, are we already operating like we are winning, or are we going to wait to operate like we're winning when we feel like we win? Right? Check it out. I was listening to Nate Burleson and Michael Robinson's podcast. They have a podcast called R&B Podcast. It's an NFL podcast. And they talked about, we're talking about the playoffs this weekend that it was before the playoffs started. But one thing they said was they had to go into the game believing that they were going to win. Right? Now, I don't know if you've ever played or been with somebody that says, we're going to lose. We're just going to lose. We're going to get killed. Right? Have anybody had people like that you were with? Right? Now, I'm not that kind of person. Right. When I play basketball in the gym, I know I might have some scrubs on my team. Right. But I tell them we're going to win. Why? And we win most of the time when I tell them that. Why? Because it's a mentality. Winning is not. It is a mentality. It starts with a mentality. Right. You can have people that win, but their mentality is a loser's mentality. Right. You can win naturally. It looks like you have all the greatest things but their mind is not in that winning mode. You have to have your mindset, as the Bible says, you have to have your mindset on the things above, not things that are beneath. You have to press on towards the goal like you are going to win. This is what Paul talked about. We have to have that mindset. So what changes? Like I said before, when you win, sometimes you start celebrating. Oh, yeah, we won. We won. We won. But other people had already started celebrating that. Why? Because their mind is already there that I'm going to win. Right? And they put the work in to get to that place of victory. So somebody say, what changes after victory? Some of us, we have to look at some of the things that we're praying for, some of the different things that are going on in our lives, and say, okay, God, I believe that you're victorious, so I believe that you're going to reign in this situation. Yes. Amen? Amen? And no longer be down because we don't see the manifestation of him reigning. Right? And this is not easy things. Some people get Christianity and, you know, you can walk in and there's easy things that you can do in the faith. You can give to the poor, right? It's easy things. Sometimes that makes people feel good. But when you're going through tribulation, keeping your faith is not as easy as giving to somebody that's in need. Right? I have dreams to be able to give people cars. Right? I have dreams that you don't have to have a car payment at all. I'm going to give you this car. Why? Because God loves you and I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that Christians can do these type of things. I have a dream to do that. So every car that I pay off from now on, I will never get rid of it until I give it to somebody that can use it. Right? These are little things that I think of, and I might not be able to do it on a wide scale, but I have to start practicing it now. Amen? I have to practice like I'm a winner. I was talking to my friend Albert on the phone because we usually work out in the gym, but I switch gyms, so I don't get to talk to him as much as I do. And, you know, he was just talking about he was coaching a flag football team, and his kids were just goofing off in practice. And, you know, one thing he said is, hey, if you practice like this, you're going to play like this in a game. Right? And we all heard coaches say that over and over in our lives. But until it actually happened to you, right? You were in a game. Oh, you goofed off. So now when that play came, you were so into goofing off that you goofed off that play. You messed it up. Right? You mess your chances up. We cannot do that. We have to practice like we're going to win. Amen? We have to practice like we're going to win. It's funny. The coach that I coach with in the kids league, he hates the rules that we play with. He can't stand my kids. They play in a league where you cannot steal the ball. You cannot block the ball. You cannot stick defense until you get behind a certain place. You know, and he lives around here in Rainier Beach area. So he's like, my kids can't go to Rainier Beach and play like that. Right? But, I mean, we live in this mindset that all kids are winners. Right? I mean, I'm serious. Like, I always tell my kids, you know, it was funny because I went to the Marquise's practice, and his coaches are intense. And they were like, there's only three people in the world: winners, losers, and those that want to be. Right? Now, you know, just watching some of the other parents, they just start laughing like, man, it's intense. But I tell my kids that stuff. Because why? Because you have to train yourself, even your kids, to be winners. You don't train them to be like everybody else. Because everybody else means that they're not going to be a winner. The reason why this is bad, this is just my soapbox, I'm on a side note. The reason why this is bad is because when they get into even the job world or business world, if they don't know how to compete to get the right customers, they're going to falter. Because in the business world, it's not everybody wins. You know why? Because everybody doesn't get the same salary. Everybody doesn't even get a salary. Some people get paid. Others wanna get paid, right? You can be a winner. You can be a loser. Or you could be, what was the last thing? A wannabe, right? Now, I understand that there is learning, right? We all have to have a learning curve. But our learning should not ever be just to be mediocre, right? Even as Christians, we should not want to be mediocre Christians. Right? We should not want to be losing Christians. We don't prepare to be losing Christians. We prepare to be winning Christians. How do we win? We win by understanding that Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you. In me you have peace." All right, you have peace. "But in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus did not teach them to not win. He taught them how to win. He taught them how to access their faith, even when a situation looked like it was out of hand. You guys got to remember when Jesus sent the disciples out and he told them to go pray for people, lay hands on people, the sick will be recovered, demons will leave in the name of Jesus. They came back one time and said, "Jesus, we prayed and this didn't happen." Right? So what do they think they did? They thought they lost. Right? Amen? They went out. Jesus told them to go do this. He told them what was going to happen. They get into a situation and what Jesus said was going to happen, it didn't happen for some reason. So they went back thinking they were losers. Right? But Jesus didn't say, "Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, sometimes that's going to happen." Jesus didn't say that. Jesus pointed at the reason why they lost that battle. Right? So you have to prepare to win. Jesus didn't say, "Okay, that was great. Don't worry about it. We're not going to deal with it. Just stay away from those types of people. So next time that, you know, you see the ones that you won with, go back to those people and do the same miracles over and over again." He didn't say that. He said, "Okay, look, this is what you need to do. You need to believe." And then, as my dad just notified us, that sometimes some things come out with prayer and fasting. Sometimes you only overcome the things that you're dealing with through prayer and fasting. Sometimes those people that we've been praying for years will only be changed by your prayer and your fasting. And believing that it's not us that's going to get it done. Amen? We have to believe that God is more than able. God is faithful. I mean, and we live in a world right now, man. I mean, this is the tough thing. Sometimes you can look at all the things that go on in the world. If you drive with me 1 week, you see so much vulgarity, right? I mean, you don't even have to drive with me. Just walk in this world. You see so much sin. You see so much different things and what begins to happen is it begins to weigh on you and you're like, "God, move. God, I want to see you change these people. I don't care what their situation is. God, I need to see your power manifested in their lives so they realize that you are the Lord and Savior." Yes, yes, yes. And when you begin to pray like that, and pray that, "Okay, God, I don't care what it looks like. I expect that you're going to move it." God moves it. Moves. Amen? I had a dream last night. And, you know, I think God has been talking to me a lot through dreams. Sometimes it's like, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. And I go to sleep and he gives me a dream. But I was in this dream and I was driving in different neighborhoods. And God just showed me different things to begin to pray for. And I would just pray, God, I expect you to move right now in this situation. Dear God, break the chains. I would go to another neighborhood. He would show me what else to pray right here. And I began to pray, but and I didn't just pray like, okay, God, just move. I prayed and expected it to get done. Amen? Amen. This is how you prepare as a winner. You have to pray and expect God to do some things. Now, I know some of us, we pray for a long time, and sometimes it gets from praying to expecting God to do it, and then, God, we hope you can do it. And then, God, please, will you do it? I'll do anything, God, if you do those, if you just answer those prayers, right? But you begin to pray like maybe God is good. Like hopefully God is a good God. Like Lord willing, right? We can hear these people pray these things. Lord willing, God, you can move. Like God is stuck on his throne or something. Like God doesn't have all power. I mean, this is what begins to happen when we don't look through the eyes of a winner. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have to remember one thing. I didn't plan on saying all this, but I'm pretty much going to be done for today. One thing we have to remember is, we are with the greatest winner of all time. Yeah. Right? Sometimes we have to go back to really what it means when Jesus defeated death and the grave. Well. He's the all-time champion. Yeah. Now, some people will look at, you mean Jesus? The all-time champion? He was getting beat? Yeah, but his comeback is historic. Right? I mean, like, realistically, when you watch a game, and I haven't watched any playoff games yet, but when you watch games, and they may be blowouts, and people are turning the TV off, oh, that game is horrible. Nobody wants to watch that. They're getting beat. Oh, man, the third string quarterback's in now. Right? Nobody wants to watch that. But then you hear that they came back and they won. Right? When people think that there was no way they could win, somehow that person that you thought was not even good enough to be on the practice squad finds a way to win. But Jesus didn't have to find a way. He knew the way. Amen? He is the way, but he also followed the way that God told him to go do it. So when we prepare to win, one thing we always have to do, we have to get back to this blueprint, the Bible, the instructions that God shows us how to win. Yes. Amen? Amen? And it's important that we do this. Because sometimes, as it said in verse 31, we feel like we're scattered. Right? Yes. Sometimes you're like, man, God, I feel like I'm the only one. Elijah, right? Feel like I'm the only one. God, I'm doing everything you told me to do. I'm waiting for a sidekick, right? I need that Elisha in my life, right? Anybody ever had those prayers? God, I'm waiting for a manifestation of what, you know, pretty much how and why I should continue in doing what I'm doing. Right? We pray these prayers. But God had to open Elijah's eyes. Yes. Amen? Amen. And then after Elijah got it, Elisha began to go. And Elisha had it on. Like, we don't see Elisha ask those same questions. Why? Because he was trained by Elijah. Amen? This kind of reminds me of a story that Pastor Nate shared. And he was saying When he was in Minnesota, there was a time where he just kept on preaching, and it was just him and his family at church, right? And as he was, and my parents probably know this story, but as he was praying, or as he was preaching, he heard people clapping, but he couldn't see the people, right? He had a vision of angels clapping and God clapping and saying, well done. Amen. Sometimes when you are by yourself, you have to remember that God is cheering you on. That's right. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father praying for you to continue to be all that you need to be. Amen. He is interceding on your behalf. It reminds me of a coach that said, come on, you can do it. There was a player on our team as we left. She was sad. She was sad because she didn't score. You know, she felt like she didn't do a good job. But as I leave, I tell her, you're going to do good next week. You're going to do better next week. Why? Because I'm there to encourage her to become better. Yeah. Amen? Jesus is there to encourage us to become winners. All right? He's there to encourage us, as he said again, and I'm going to read this for the last time. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Somebody say, I have peace. I have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be happy. Somebody say, be happy. Be happy. And not only be happy, but have joy. Somebody say, I have joy. Then Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen. And if he has overcome the world, Jesus is our prototype. That means he is our design. He showed us how to do it. We follow him. Amen? Amen. And if he has overcome the world, what is he telling us? That we can overcome the world as well. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this day, this time. Dear God, I even pray to God with this word that was shared with us, oh God, that we would be of good cheer, dear God, that we would have peace, and that we would know, dear God, that you are calling us to be overcomers. Dear God, and help us to prepare for victory as we move in whatever facet and areas of our lives, dear God, so that you be glorified at all times, oh God. I pray, dear God, that you encourage the discouraged, oh God. I pray, dear God, that you uplift the hearts, dear God, that are down. And dear God, that you would allow us to move forward in you and prepare for victory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.